play fake. Fires it to Edelman, who dropped. That was intercepted off of Edelman and picked by the Honey Badger. Pick six. Tyrann Mathieu, pick six. Julian Edelman last year led the National Football League in drops. He's such a great receiver, but he lost concentration and the ball off his left arm right to the waiting Honey Badger, who eats the snake and runs all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City with a pick six.
Oh, man, obviously it's cool anytime you can, you know, score points defensively, you know, especially for myself. You know, I don't always get on the stat sheet, but just try my best to do my job, you know, be where I'm supposed to be, and thank the man upstairs took care of me tonight. So I appreciate that one.
Tyrann Mathieu with the big defensive play last night to seal the deal for the Chiefs with the interception return for a touchdown, give the Chiefs a 26-10 lead, and that would be the final as the Chiefs win to improve to 4-0. The Chiefs are 4-0 for the fourth consecutive year under Andy Reid. That is an NFL record. No NFL team has ever started four straight years 4-0. Chiefs got that done last night. It wasn't easy. It was a dogfight, but the Chiefs get it done. More on the game coming up here in just a moment on the Sports Ticket. Wade Gershner with you here on this Tuesday, October the 6th. High school sports from yesterday. Volleyball, Lakeside wins in three sets over Stockton. Smith Center sweeps Silver Lake High School out of Nebraska. And Smith Center also sweeps Bruning Davenport out of Nebraska. Lakeside winning two three-set matches yesterday over Stockton. So Lakeside continues to play some good volleyball. Today we have the Ellsworth Invitational Cross Country Meet. Natoma, Wilson, Sylvan Lucas, Ellsworth, Minneapolis, Concordia, Lincoln, and Beloit will all be at that at 3 o'clock. And also today, volleyball, Rock Hills at Natoma at 4:15, Beloit at Ellsworth at 5 o'clock, Chase at Lakeside at 5 o'clock, St. John's at Lincoln at 5 o'clock, Minneapolis at Rural Vista, Republic County at Sacred Heart, Southeast Salines at Halstead, Thunder Ridge is at Sylvan Lucas at the Sylvan Lucas Triangular, Chapman at Concordia, Pike Valley at Chase, Minneapolis against Canton Galva. Also volleyball action tonight, Smoky Valley against Southeast Saline, Thunder Ridge versus Southern Cloud, and also Chapman, Concordia, Pike Valley at Lakeside Triangular. Southern Cloud will also compete there against Sylvan Lucas at the Sylvan Lucas Tri. The latest tennis results also posted in cross-country information at ncksports.com, along with the latest volleyball rankings and our broadcast schedule. We have live video stream of Beloit at Ellsworth High School volleyball tonight, varsity match, then JV, then another varsity match. Live video stream tonight beginning around 5 o'clock on ncksports.com via the Beloit Trojan channel. So the Chiefs get it done last night. Chiefs win 26-10. We were talking about this yesterday on the show. I had this feeling that this was going to be a tougher game than some people expected because Cam Newton was out. People thought it might be a cakewalk. Chiefs are favored by 10.5. They do cover the spread, but the final score doesn't indicate how tight this game was. Chiefs go down. They get a field goal. On their first drive, they're up only 6-3 at halftime and really could have very easily been 6-6 at least. The Patriots using our final timeout there about 33 seconds to go before halftime, and then Brian Hoyer with a rookie mistake as he was sacked inbounds by Frank Clark, and the Patriots, the clock runs down. They don't get a field goal attempt, so they come away with no points. Two times the Patriots are inside the Chiefs 10 last night, and they did not score. So the Chiefs caught a few breaks there. Patrick Mahomes, the grasping call was certainly questionable. That would have been a turnover. Maybe it resulted in a score for the Patriots. So the Chiefs caught a few breaks. There was a possible interception Mahomes threw in the first quarter that could have been picked but wasn't made by the Patriots' defense. So sometimes you need to catch a few breaks. The Chiefs did. Mecole Hardman letting a ball between his legs on a kick return or a punt return, and that could have been a turnover. So the Chiefs dodged some major bullets last night. The Patriots had a terrific game plan. You knew they would come in swinging away, and they did. It was a dogfight, no question about it. And the Chiefs do win. Here's Andy Reid. Overall, his thoughts on the win over the Patriots 26-10 last night to help the Chiefs improve to 4-0.
I thought we made plays when we had to make plays. And that's we can learn from this. And we've got to do better in a lot of areas. But it's tough to win in this league, and it's tough to beat the Patriots in any situation. They're very well coached, and they did a nice job tonight, Bill, with all the obstacles he had. He really did a nice job. So the four turnovers ended up being big for us, 14 points off of that. And I mean, I can go through and name individuals, but I think collectively as a team, we can do better than what we did. But it's a win in the National Football League, and these summer guns are hard to get.
And it was a dogfight. Patrick Mahomes realized that, says, hey, you got to win different ways in this league.
I thought we figured it out a little bit last season at the end of it. And you have to be able to do that. When you're in these dogfights with teams like this that are known to win games like this, you have to be able to find ways, offense, defense, and special teams. And today our defense stepped up, made a lot of big-time plays. And whenever you're trying to go throughout a season and win as many football games as possible to set you up for the playoffs, you're going to have to win games like this.
Chiefs also came up with a big stop, forcing a fumble by Brian Hoyer. Also, that was the second time where the Patriots had a chance to score points inside the Chiefs' 10. And that was a big play by the Chiefs' defense. Chiefs' defense forcing four turnovers in the game, including that pick six you heard by Tyrann Mathieu. Andy Reid on the team's defensive improvement under defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo.
I like the fight in the guys. They don't get down. They just try to get better. And every play is not going to be a great play, but they don't flinch on it. They learn from it, and then they bring it the next time. So that becomes an important ingredient throughout a season, particularly on defense. You have to have a short memory but still learn from the things that you had a problem with. So they're willing to do that.
Tyrann Mathieu is pretty upset when the Chiefs gave up a touchdown right after they had taken a 13-3 lead. It made it 13-10. Mathieu then comes through with a pick six in the contest to salt the game away. And he says, hey, it takes some time to build a good defense.
I mean, I'm extremely proud. You know, anytime you have a new group, new coaching, it can take some time. You know, it can take years. You know, really get to that point where everybody's comfortable with, you know, how you're performing. I think in our mind, obviously, we understand, you know, we're a prideful group. You know, we work really hard. And I'm just more so happy that, you know, we made the plays that came to us tonight. You know, we didn't try to go out our way to do somebody else's job. We just caught the one that they threw to us. And I think that's a big part of, you know, building that confidence going forward.
Certainly felt like the Chiefs' defense carried the day last night. I mean, they were the ones that kept the Chiefs in. The offense really sputtered at times. Bill Belichick and the Patriots had a good game plan. You knew they would. Patrick Mahomes has not had a touchdown pass the last three games against the Patriots in the first half. But eventually the Chiefs figured some things out. Andy Reid was on the bench working with Patrick Mahomes during that whole one defensive series. And the Chiefs are able to figure it out. And the offense came up with two drives they really needed. It was 6-3 to go down and score after that turnover, make it 13-3. And then after the Patriots go right down and score in a couple of minutes, make it 13-10, the Chiefs responded again with another touchdown. And Patrick Mahomes on stepping up when it really counts.
I think you see it with our team. I mean, you've seen it this season. You've seen it last season with this offense. Is even if you kind of hold us down, we can go out there and make plays when they count. That's big. I mean, when you're in games like that, when you're in those kind of dogfights and you're going against teams that are really good, whenever your number is called, you got to be able to make a play. And I thought guys made plays at the end of the game to give us enough points so that we can go out there and get the win.
Well, and we were talking about yesterday, I figured the game would be lower scoring than some people would anticipate, and it was. I think some people thought the Chiefs were going to win this game 31-10. It was 26-10, but like I said, it wasn't even anything close to that final score. Chiefs made mistakes in this game. They weren't on top of their game. They weren't sharp. Patriots had nothing to lose. They flew in on the day of the game yesterday. Brian Hoyer, I don't know how he's still a quarterback in this league. I didn't understand the Patriots picking up again. He looked like he's washed up when the Chiefs smoked the Texans back in, what was that, 2017, when the Chiefs were able to pick up their first playoff win in many, many years. That was Brian Hoyer looked horrible then, and he didn't look any better last night. I don't know how Jared Stidham is behind Hoyer on the depth chart, and he shouldn't be anymore. But that shows how important Cam Newton is to the Patriots. I've seen some people say, well, Cam Newton would have played last night, the Patriots would have won. I'll say this. I think the Chiefs, if Cam Newton played, I think the Chiefs' focus would have been sharper. I do think that the Chiefs would have found a way to win even with Cam Newton playing last night, but I don't know that. But it does show the value of Cam Newton to the New England Patriots, and it's a good thing they picked up Cam Newton. And then there at the end, you know, Stidham had another chance for a touchdown, and he underthrew the receiver who was open. So there was some opportunities for the Patriots, lots of opportunities for the Patriots. And I laugh when people criticize Bill Belichick about how he screwed things up before halftime. He didn't screw anything up before halftime. His quarterback, who knows better, screwed things up by not getting rid of the football and took the sack. And so Brian Hoyer, I don't know how he's in the league. He shouldn't. I mean, he just doesn't play well. I don't know how he's ahead of Stidham on the depth chart, as I said. But also, I don't understand how he's even in this league. And so Cam Newton obviously makes the Patriots much better. And yet, despite that, they still right there with the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, I don't want to say they overlooked the Patriots, but I think there were the distractions for both teams, of course. The Chiefs weren't sharp last night. The defense did what it had to do. But at the same time, the Patriots weren't at full strength, clearly. The Patriots trying to establish the run, didn't have much of a passing game per se. And the Chiefs forced the four turnovers. So the defense got it done. The offense made plays when they had to. there in the second half. It wasn't pretty, but as I said yesterday, I will take winning ugly every day of the week, every week of the season, instead of losing pretty. And I'm talking losing pretty as, oh, yeah, 41-38, we lost, but we scored lots of points, yay. Or winning ugly, which last night was ugly, 26-10. It was ugly, 6-3 at halftime. That's ugly. You know, the Patriots not scoring twice inside the Chiefs 10, that's ugly. I'll take it. If it's a W, I'll take it. You don't apologize for beating a good team. And the Patriots are obviously solid when they were right there last night and had some opportunities to possibly win this game without Cam Newton. You always know when you go up against Bill Belichick that Belichick and that coaching staff are going to have a great game plan. And the Chiefs had to adjust. They made some adjustments on those two scoring drives second half, and they won the football game. And they're 4-0 for the fourth straight year, and that is an NFL record. So that's what good – you know, the Chiefs have not played well in two of their four games this year. They didn't play well in L.A. against the Chargers. They didn't play well against the Patriots. Credit goes to the Chargers for their defensive game plan. Credit goes to the Patriots and their defensive game plan. Guess what game was sandwiched in between? The big game against the Ravens. The sign of championship teams, signs of Super Bowl winning teams, signs of world champions, signs of the best teams that have played over the years are the teams that somehow find a way to win when they don't even play that well. And the Chiefs, honestly, they've played four games, and I think they've played really well in one. And that was against the Ravens, which they had to, probably, and they looked great. Texans, they played well, I would say, 75% of the time, perhaps, maybe 80. And the game against Chargers, they pulled one out of the fire, didn't play well. And the Patriots, their defense played well enough, and the offense sputtered but found a way. That's what great teams do. You win when you don't have your A game. You can win when you come in with your B-minus game. You can win when you have your B-plus game. You could even win when you have your C game. The teams that aren't as good can come out and play great and play their A game for almost the entire way and then give it up in the final minutes because bad teams find ways to lose and the good or great teams find ways to win. And that's what the Chiefs did again last night.
Yeah, it did. Like you said, it did feel like a little bit like, oh, Cam's not playing. We can just kind of cruise through this game. Yeah, we'll just come out and go through the motions and play. But, again, you know, I feel like some of the things you see there is Bill Belichick always has some kind of plan for Patrick Mahomes defensively. So, you know, they get through it, and that's what you do. Again, that's what good teams do. That's what great teams do is they figure out any way we're going to win, we're going to win. Like, it doesn't really matter how we do it. It doesn't matter what happens through the course of the game. At the end of it, we're going to be right there to be able to take it over and go ahead and win it. And I think a lot – some of that people say is flipping a switch. Mm-hmm. But part of that, too, is just being a great team. It's just like you don't have to flip the switch. It's just there. You're just going through what you need to do with the progression of a game and be able to just finish it off like you know how to. And, you know, I was never really nervous last night based on – who was going to be playing quarterback for the Patriots, either one of them. I mean, Stedham was, you know, that first drive, everybody's like, he had a great first drive. Well, the running back had two, like, gigantic runs to put him in position to score. Like, Stedham didn't really do a whole lot on that drive. I mean, he obviously had to finish it. But then once he got into it, you know, he got a little bit rattled. You could tell he was inexperienced. And so the Chiefs took advantage of that. And all you got to do in games like that is just do what you know how to do and the chips are going to fall where they fall, and you'll be in pretty good position to win a football game. Like I said, I wasn't really ever worried about it.
The Chiefs are, I think, what are they, the third best team in the league in scoring defense right now? I mean, so that's where the offense doesn't have to carry as much weight as they used to do. And I think Chiefs fans are spoiled by that. So then they go, what's wrong with the Chiefs offense? People are figuring us out. No, the Chiefs have dialed it back a little bit because they don't have to score 50 points to win. And Andy Reid, by the way, keep this in mind. The Chiefs haven't displayed the full playbook yet, and they don't need to. There's no, they don't need to. They're going to have a wider playbook if they play the Patriots in the playoffs. So, you know, the Chiefs are still the team to beat. Now, I think the Bills are legit. That's a game that worries me on Thursday night. I think the Browns are improved, but I'm not scared about the Browns. Although the Browns run the ball really well, and the Chiefs aren't great against the run, but that's what they said about the Titans, and they came into Kansas City, and the Chiefs shut down Derrick Henry. So I'm not going to freak out. The Ravens are great with running the ball, and the Chiefs blew them out. So you got to throw the ball in this league. Aaron Rodgers knows that. Last night, Aaron Rodgers, 27-33 for 327 and four touchdowns. Him and Russell Wilson, right now the front runners for MVP, and Rodgers doesn't have Tyler Lockett or DK Metcalf. I mean, the weapon, he didn't have Alan Lazard last night, who was an undrafted free agent at Iowa State, who was out with a core injury, and no Devontae Adams. He threw three touchdown passes to a tight end you never heard of before. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you could argue he might be the MVP or should be the MVP. And he's 36. I mean, he looked just great again last night. Packers beat the Falcons. 30-16. I wonder if the drafting of Jordan Love has created a little bit more fire for Aaron Rodgers in his belly, even though he played great last year.
Yeah, I think it clearly did.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think that he's kind of come to terms with actually helping the kid out when he needs to.
Right.
But he's like, yeah, you're not taking this job from me anytime soon.
No doubt. there's an opening. I think Eric Bieniemy will be the next head coach of the Houston Texans. It'd be a great fit for him. He'd have Deshaun Watson to work with. If I'm the Texans, I go after Eric Bieniemy. That, and I can get some stuff and information from my biggest obstacle of moving anywhere through the AFC, which is the Chiefs. I think the Texans would be crazy not to consider Eric Bieniemy as our next head coach. Why is that opening? Because Bill O'Brien was fired. Here's Bill O'Brien, who's the GM, and he was going to be the play caller. That was announced yesterday morning, and next thing you know, they're like, yeah, that ain't going to work. We're firing you.
Most importantly to the players, I talked to the players briefly this afternoon and just thanked them. I told them I love them. I think these players are just awesome guys. They practiced hard. They tried to do everything we asked them to do. It was a pleasure coaching them. I'm going to miss seeing them every day. Just really, the guys that have been with me for 7 years to the guys that were only here for a year. Every one of them, just tremendous guys. And I'm just sorry we couldn't get it done this year early on here.
So Bill O'Brien is out as head coach of the Houston Texans after 0-4 start. I had somebody that was surprised by that. Like, I'm not. I mean, how could you be surprised? I mean, the team's 0-4 and they went to the divisional playoffs last year and blew a 24-0 lead. He was on the hot seat as soon as they blew that lead last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that Bill O'Brien to this day, I still think is going to go back and say, why didn't I go for it on 4th-and-1, up 21-0 in Kansas City and put my foot on the throat of the Chiefs and extinguish them, and he didn't do it. And I said at the time, that's not hindsight 2020. I was like, oh my God, please don't go for it. Because and then they were going to, and then they didn't. And I was like, thank you. You can have your field goal. 24-0. She's still within 3 scores with that offense. I think it'd been a bit different. It was 28-0, but who knows? Maybe the Chiefs would have still come back and won, 51-35 instead of 51-31. But at the end of the day, that was not a good decision. Then the fake punt, of course, didn't work out either. And it's been downhill ever since for Bill O'Brien and Houston Texans. Chris Klieman gets a contract extension at Kansas State University. Don't have a lot of time to spend here because we have guests coming up, but I can tell you that Chris Klieman's new contract contains an automatic extension bonus. Anytime K-State wins 8 games and plays in a bowl through 2023, he'll automatically receive an extra year of employment at a salary of $4.3 million. He's agreed to a new contract with Chris Klieman that is worth $23.5 million. It'll run through 2026. Klieman was the lowest paid head coach in the Big 12 at $2.3 million, so he gets a significant raise. He gets retention bonuses if he stays at K-State, which I think he will for a while, obviously. And Kelis Robinette, of course, we had on last week from the Wichita Eagle and the Kansas City Star, the K-State beat writer. He has that all on Twitter in the breakdown of the salary and everything else. If Chris Klieman chooses to leave K-State, the buyout is $5 million each of the next 2 years and then $4 million in 2023 and so forth and so on. What that means is if somebody came in and said, hey, I want to get Chris Klieman as my coach, they got to pay K-State $5 million each of the next 2 years or whatever year they choose to try to get him. If Chris Klieman decides to leave, which I don't think he's going to leave anytime soon, I think he's happy where he's at. So anyway, there's a lot, lots of bonuses, lots of this and that and so forth and so on. I don't have the full breakdown in front of me, but bottom line is Chris Klieman gets a significant raise and is going to be at K-State for the foreseeable future. And that's great and all. I will say the thought I had, and it's not a knock on Chris Klieman. It's not a knock on Gene Taylor. It's not a knock on Kansas State. I totally understand what they're doing. And in normal times, I wouldn't even think much of this. But these are not normal times. When you have all these people being furloughed, you have people taking pay cuts, and you have students paying for classes that are not even in class. They're online. I've seen some people and students make some comments on these stories with Chris Klieman saying they're not mad at Chris Klieman. They're just saying, wait a minute, how does this guy get a raise? Like, to me, the timing is a little weird. I don't think they need to do it right now. I know today's National Coaches Day, but did they really have to do it? They could have waited. I mean, Chris Klieman's not going anywhere. They could have just said, Chris, let's just wait, end of the year, see how you're going to get a raise, buddy. You will. Mm-hmm. We're going to take care of it. Or maybe they just hold on to it, not even announce it. Because it does have a little bit of a bad look because You're talking about how you're hard up for money and people, K-State's lost some season ticket holders over the whole Unity game. And, we talked about that recently. And then you go ahead and turn around and give the coach quite a bit of money and a big raise, which I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it because football brings in a lot of money, no question. But I do understand that talk now. Of all times, now's the time to talk about that in regards to COVID-19, is that, hey, all these people are taking pay cuts. There's furloughs. There's this. There's that. Whatever else. I'm a student, and hardly any of my classes are in person, and I'm still paying full online. I'm paying full tuition. Is that money going straight to Chris Klieman's contract? Why is he getting a raise now of all times? And by the way, his record's 10-6 as head coach. Not like that's great. He's beaten Oklahoma twice. Okay, great. You know, he lost to Arkansas State. You know, and I'm just playing devil's advocate because I understand what K-State's doing. I understand the nature of the game and the beast. Mm-hmm. And it does make sense that he gets paid higher than he shouldn't be the lowest paid coach in the Big 12. There's no doubt. He's one of the best coaches in the Big 12. He's proven that so far. I do wonder about the timing, though, because you sit here and you talk about how you need money, and then all of a sudden you give the coach a raise when you didn't have – it's not like he was going to go anywhere tomorrow. I do wonder about the timing. I have to throw it out there.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, you got to question a little bit, especially when you're, you know,
talking about
whatever
finances.
May, whenever that was, that, you know, they announced that Bruce Weber and Jeff Mitty and all these guys were taking pay cuts on their
right.
on their contracts. And so I get it. For sure. I think it probably could have waited.
Yeah, I think it could have.
I think he's going to get the same contract, the same money, no matter when you do it, and the same amount of years, whatever,
optics,
no matter when
though.
It happens. But yeah,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, when you see it, I guess people could take exception to it, I guess. But at the same time, when's this all going to go away, too? So
true.
How long do you wait for it, you know?
Kleiman's 53 years of age. He gets an $800,000 raise. $800,000. That's a significant raise, mm-hmm. people. I mean, that's 800,000. What is that? 30% is 2.3 going up 800,000, 3.1 in 2021. And it'll be up to 4.3 million for the final 3 years of the agreement, which is almost doubles his salary. So it's a significant raise. No question about it. Kicks in next year. All right. Major League Baseball playoffs. The Astros and the A's. Astros hit a whole bunch of homers. They win 10-5 over the A's. Everybody's cheering against the Astros, yet they keep winning. They lead that best of 5-1-0, and the Yankees and the Rays. The Yankees win last night, and they go homer happy. Giancarlo Stanton with a grand slam.
Curtis deals. Stanton in the air. Center field deep. On the run. Kiermaier running out of room, and she's gone. It's a grand slam for Giancarlo Stanton.
Game one of the NLDS, Marlins and Braves, 108 today. Game two, A's, Astros at 3:37 today on TBS. Yankees, Rays. Yankees won last night 9-3. They're up 1-0. They're taking on the Rays 7-10 on TBS tonight. And the Padres, Dodgers game one at late game at 8:38 on FS1. So all four division series in action today. And you can go ahead and enjoy that on both FS1, TBS today. Four games. If you're a Major League Baseball playoff junkie, you are in heaven today.